Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What makes Jesus the Good Shepherd? There are many in our world who are good, who do good out of their own protecting, their own providing. Parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, neighbors, policemen, firemen, and the like. And many do so even out of true Christian love, yea, even being willing to give their lives for those they've been called to serve. But what sets Jesus apart as the Good Shepherd? Is it because he does these things better than all the rest? Or for more people than all the rest? Is it because he provides all these people for us and works through them for us? Now, all of that is true, but that's not the bottom line answer of what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. The answer of what sets Jesus apart is simply this. He is the one, the only one, who declares us good and gives to us his goodness, and with that, the peaceful life of a conscience at rest in him. He is the Good Shepherd because he is the one who takes no accounting of his own, but acts purely and always for the sake of the sheep. This word good is not merely the opposite of bad, and Christ's version of good is not merely whatever is good in anybody's eye. Good, rather, is what the world was before the fall into sin. When God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Good is a world created in perfect unity, no sin affecting, no chaos abounding. Good is right knowledge of God. Good is life unaffected by disease, uninterrupted by death, untouched by tragedy, and unstained by selfishness. Good is God's plan, the way it should be in our world, but no longer is, and the way it will be in time and in eternity. As he is now working together all things, both the good and the bad, toward a final and complete good for those who love him. This is where the Good Shepherd leads us. So to bring about this goodness is what Jesus has come to do both in the past, in the present, and yes, even also in the future. All the other people in our lives who are, you might say, many good shepherds, those who care for us, love us, protect us, provide for us, they can sustain the lives we have. They can help improve our lives in little ways. They may even be able to help lengthen our lives according to God's plan. But everyone has limits. But not Jesus. He has come not merely to mend, but recreate this broken and fallen world. He doesn't seek to simply give us health and wealth and more of it. No, he's come to give us the goods of body and soul. To give us all that is needed in this world, and to give us the abundance of paradise in the next. To give us the goods of the forgiveness of sins in this life, while we await those verdant pastures of the perfect, the complete life in the world to come. But all of the protecting and providing that our Good Shepherd does for us in this life, we, again, must hone in on the most important and best good that the Good Shepherd gives. I said it before as declaring us good, and so what declares? His voice. His word. And for us, this includes words even of warning, namely from the wolves. As we heard it from Acts, how fierce wolves would come in and speak twisted things, twisting his words to deceive us and mislead us, pulling us away from his word and putting in its place false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And there are two particular ways that the devil and his wolves seek to twist this image of Jesus as the good shepherd that are worth looking out for. On the one hand, you have that of license, and on the other hand, that of legalism. When we hear about Jesus as the great provider, it's easy to think of him giving only pleasure and ease, of getting everything I could ever want without ever any pain. That is, in the language of Psalm 23, when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," that means that I shall have all my needs met and truly be content. But it doesn't mean having everything that would allow me to be amused, having full pleasure, or that we would be freed from responsibility. That we would have all riches of this world, everything we could desire, anything that we could ever want to do, we would have. No, as Galatians says, the desires of the sinful flesh and the desires of the Holy Spirit are opposed to each other on purpose. That the Holy Spirit keeps us from doing what our sinful flesh indeed wants to do. When we indulge and eat of the forbidden fruits of this life, this is not living the good shepherd life, but the dying life. Families, relationships, cultures, everything is affected when we let this unrestrained pursuit of whatever we desire reign supreme. And on the other hand, there are those who hear that Christ has come to bring the good life, eternal life, and hear it as a marching order for this life. That is, being a Christian means I have to live a good life in order to earn and keep this favor of the good shepherd, for him to keep on leading me. But this, too, is not hearing the voice of the good shepherd, but a twisting of God's word that the wolves are only so delighted to do. We cannot attain to the good that we wish to see in the world, and the good shepherd is not a means to a personal perfection. The good shepherd is the perfection to whom we run and cling. It is he, our truly good shepherd, our Savior Jesus. He has come to work a different work, to give us not the fullness of this dying life, but to give us the fullness of himself and his eternal life. The real good of his perfection in order to forgive us of our sins and fill us with the fruits of life. He doesn't want us to have forgiveness without new life, which only leads to license. And he doesn't want us to have a new life without forgiveness, which would lead to legalism. No, your shepherd has for you both forgiveness and new life, both by his gracious hand. And this hand, this is a hand that has you always in his grip, even to the end of the age. You can't be snatched away. Nothing can separate you. The wolves, they may try and entice you away, but don't be fooled by them. Hear the voice, and you know that voice, and you follow that voice. Keep following that voice, that is, remaining in the Word, in the Scriptures, that which speaks the same unified voice across all 66 books. Don't let the devil scratch your itching ears with messages that sound enticing, but only lead to license or legalism. Instead, remain with Christ, who works his good works in you, whose dying and rising is your forgiveness, your life, and your salvation. Remain with Christ, who, through his holy baptism of you, joins you to him and to his cross, your old man being slain, so that your new man would rise to life. Remain in Christ, that in holy communion this new man in you is fed with the very body and blood of this, your good shepherd, he who gave his life for you and now puts his life in you. And all this, that his death and atonement for your sins and his resurrection and life be always a present reality for you. This This is the good news, the gospel of the Good Shepherd. Good works for the Good Shepherd are never meant to make yourself worthy of him. He makes you worthy by his laying down of his life. Calls you then to a new obedience that isn't a new way to keep your salvation after you're converted. No, this is the sheep participating in new obedience is he who is so overjoyed at the goodness of the shepherd, he can't just help but follow in his steps as close as spiritually possible. This is the true goodness of Easter, the good of the resurrection, the good of new creation, where in the beginning God saw all that he made and it was very good, and now also in Christ everything is again very good and complete. In him you will never perish, for no one is able to snatch you out of his hand. Amen.